The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Seen live off the record with Chicago Line is brought to you by Bahamas First General Company, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, the Free National Movement, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, RF Banking Trust, Bronze Electric Motors, and Star General, Insurance Made Simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are the same. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. It remains unfortunate, tragic, frankly, upsetting that we continue to have among us, frankly, not to me surprisingly, not surprisingly to me, I live in a world where I know a great many crappy things happen because there are some people in our world who are conscienceless or ignorant or simply impulsive, or just out of control, or just mean evil and nasty, who, having no regard for life other than their own perhaps, or their families, or their gang members, who will take up a gun, will take up a knife, take up some object, and use it to hurt and yea, even to kill another person. That is a reality of our lives. It doesn't stun me anymore. Doesn't shock me. Actually, it hasn't for a long time because I understand that on the spectrum of human evilness and disgustingness and poor choices, we exist and we have people that exist on every point on the spectrum, from the very, very good to the very, very, very evil and everything in between. And sometimes these people, in doing what they do, in targeting other people, they sometimes hit, cause damage to, kill people who have nothing to do with their nonsense. That's the world we live in. That's the reality. I'm not asking anyone to accept it. I'm just acknowledging my understanding that this is where we are and have been for a long time, so that a 47-year-old woman holding a one-year-old child gets fatally struck by a bullet intended for somebody else, apparently. Inside, lying and attending to your baby as a responsible mother should do. And some person. Besides, lick shot inside the house or somewhere, and boom, this lady loses her life, a child without a mother, one of God's creatures, sent home in a way he never intended. I'm just acknowledging this tragedy. I'm not going to wail. I'm not going to ask people to do anything because we've been here before. Chances are, God forbid, we may be here again. The only thing I could say is, and I say this gladly, that this doesn't more often than it does. Thank God that there are people, there are parents and guardians who raise their children. There are influences, maybe it's a church, maybe it's the school, maybe it's some teacher, maybe it's some mentor. There are forces in our world, there are forces in our country that shape the minds, the hearts of men and women so that they don't make these kinds of choices, so that we don't have this kind of tragedy more often than we have it. Thank God for them. I know I was shaped that way. I was shaped that way by my mother, by my father. I was shaped that way by a church, starting with the Anglican church, who first taught me those first principles of Christianity and the notion of love and being repulsed by evil. And then moving on to my faith development through the years, and then friends and adult men who all encouraged me. But there's a better way. There are too many men and young men in our Bahamas who don't have that. Not that they didn't have it, but who have not internalized even what they got from some of those people, so that their code of conduct and their moral ethics is based on a totally different scheme, almost animalistic, and to the extent that forget my cerebral cortex that teaches me to have and make moral judgments and to catch up properly. No, theirs is their primitive brain, amygdala, that really only understands fear, threats, and rewards. And so they feel threatened, you know, thing. Oh, all out your thing, you will do. That's it. Some people won't, but I do feel for them. I feel for the tragic loss of potential, the tragic absence of the beauty, of the tragic absence of the grace and wonders of pursuing, not even altogether perfectly, but pursuing a path that is noble, decent, of being able to know I did wrong, being able to know I'm thinking wrong, and I don't want to go that way. I pity them for that deprivation. And hope somehow more and more who are in that vein, who are on that path, who are on that road, may someday find the intervention that allows them to repent and to turn the other way. Don't let me sit here in judgment of anybody. We all have our challenges. We all have our faults. We all have our failings. We have all been, well, I don't know, let me don't speak for all of you, but many of us have succumbed to bad choices, poor judgments, immoral decisions, tragic choices. But that's not the tragedy. The tragedy is when we can't see it, or we see it and don't want to turn it around, try to do better. That's where we separate ourselves, you know, not on perfection, not on moral upstandingness. I don't care who you are. You could have all the color in the world. You could have on all the black and white in the world. You could have on all the robes and tassels you want in the world. And you all know, you all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all know that. The difference is that person who has decided, that may be a path I once walked. That may even be a temptation I now have. But I don't want that way. And so I'm going to work to turn it around. And for those of people of faith, they can look to God and ask for strength and guidance and direction and try to turn it around. That's the big difference. People who don't wallow in their indiscretions, who don't wallow in their wickedness, who don't wallow in their backwardness, who don't wallow in their criminal intent, but decide, yeah, man, that was once me. Maybe that's even my struggle today, but that's not where I want to be. That's not what I'm going to choose to be. And I'm going to mend and correct my ways. That's the difference. And maybe you're listening to me today. Maybe you think to yourself, you know, that makes sense. I don't want to do that no more. And so you're killing young, innocent mothers now. We've been killing little innocent babies and toddlers. Well, man, come on, man. Come on. Really? I wanted that nonsense. That's too much, man. That's nonsense. You don't want no one to take your life, but you ain't no problem taking other people's lives. Huh? That's where we are now? I mean, that's where you are now. Not we. We all us in Dona, but that's where you are now. If you have any influence over any young person, male or female, any positive influence, any influence, use it to help them. Help them to help themselves, or other people, help them to help us as a country. Yeah? Don't the power of a timely word. Do not disregard the power of a timely smile. Do not disregard the power of a timely encouragement. Do not disregard the power of a timely warning. Do not disregard the power of a timely intervention. Do not disregard power of a timely presence in somebody's life. You know, young people, young men, young women, they're going through some stuff, you know. Some of them, they're going through some heavy stuff. Don't dismiss it. Oh, you don't know what problems is. You don't have no bills. You know, that's nonsense. Don't dismiss it. They go through issues too. They feel frightened. They feel angry and hurt and many things they can feel. There's no excuse for doing stupidness, but it certainly can be an influence in doing stupidness. So you and I, who have the opportunity, the ability, we could step up, man. Stop just being caught up in your own life. I mean, you have to do your life, but don't be caught up only in it, man. See people around you. See people in your space and in your corner. You can only do what you can do. I asked you to change the world. Maybe you just try and do a little in the little piece of the world that you occupy. That's what I'm saying. Our sympathies go out to the family of that dear mother. You know, we hope for the best, despite all. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Cheese at Burger King Nashville has never tasted so good. It's made with 100% flame-grilled beef that's juicier, topped with fresh ingredients as usual, and even fluffier buns. Get a regular Whopper with cheese combo for only $9, including VAT, and enjoy a Whopper that's bigger, better, and tastier. The only place to get your Whopper with cheese combo is at Burger King Nassau, where it's grill time anytime.
It's the Free National Movement Fire Forward Rally, Nassau Southern Zone. Hear from Dr. Dwayne Sands, Bambletown, Darren Hinfield, South Beach, Denari Road, Pinewood, Arithia Komalafi, Carmichael, Michael Folks, Golden Gates, Rick Fox, Garden Hills, Deputy Leader, Shannon Dawn Cartwright, and Party Leader, Michael Pintar. This Tuesday, April 14th, at Golden Gates World Outreach Ministries parking lot at 7:30 p.m. That's the Free National Movement Fire Forward Rally, Nassau Southern Zone. See you there!
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as 5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on 6.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. No? No caller? Okay. So we have a text here that says, great show as usual. We have a social behavior problem. We reach to situations poorly, poor conflict resolution, and too many people giving emotional responses to situations. It's actually sickening. We really get a grip on this. It's been out of hand. The producer needs to play the song Badness Out of Style. We're not playing any songs today, but I don't want to get dramatic about this at all, you know, outside of identifying with the city hands, right? We first of all, in a country where you've always had murder and attempted murder and acts of violence, you can't, I'm not going to get caught up in, we have a real social problem today. God had a social problem in the Garden of Eden. You forgot that one, eh? Starting with Adam and Eve, who disobeyed him, and then Cain, who killed his brother Abel. And then you could read Bible. If you're a Bible believer, go on from there. But if you're not a Bible believer, just go read human history and see the amount of tragic nonsense that human beings have done. So like, that's not the point, right? To try and pretend like today is some unique, special kind of situation. Come on, man. Just read history and you'll know it's not. But each time we have an opportunity, we can speak to our feelings as human beings, to the tragedies that we, and maybe in the course of our talking, we can encourage somebody to find a different path, to go a different way. But I'm not making now special. I'm not making the Bahamas a very civil society. I mean, think of the thousands and thousands of young men in the Bahamas who wouldn't pick up a conch shell and hit nobody and have not in the course of their lifetime. So I don't believe in exaggerating problems. I don't believe in it. You don't get to solve things properly when you exaggerate them. True, when they're good or bad, you need to see things for what they are. And sometimes we can sensationalize stuff, and that's not what I'm trying to do today at all. All right. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The death of anyone is tragic. When I was younger, I had to shoot my gun and run strange fellas off my block because they started stealing cars and robbing people. Most of these young men only understood violence, but I fired in the air or in the dirt. But as I got older, I walked away from that entirely, thank God. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's someone who walked away from it, right? All right. So I'm reading the Nassau Guardian today, and I'm reading the story in the Guardian of a parliamentary registration department worker who, along with someone else, was arrested. A 33-year-old woman, along with that parliamentary registration department employee, they were arrested in connection with a fraudulent voter's card. How was this voter's card discovered? It was discovered when an attempt was made to use it at the National Insurance Board. According to the parliamentary commissioner. Parliamentary commissioner notes, according to this report, that the PRD worker is a 32-year-old man, and he was involved with this. Now, there's no details about why he was arrested, like in terms of what did he supply the card, stock, and whatever, and so forth and so forth. Parliamentary commissioner pointed out that the NIB personnel picked up that it was fraudulent because the card did not have the supporting identification validating marks, like the seal of the parliamentary registrar department. And as he indicated, that there are markings on the card that make them impossible to be replicated. So the seal and some other identifying marks on the card. So these people have been arrested and charged. So I in reading that, I want to say a couple of things. First of all, the National Insurance seems to be a particularly intriguing card to have for these people seeking to get the fraudulent documents. Right? So you go and get a voter's card because now what you really want is that NIB card. You go and get your voter's card. You go and get your NIB card, like the last person, and then you go to immigration, checking up on the status of some Haitians who were being held, and you get discovered. But you get discovered with a fraudulent voter's card, but you'd already get your NIB card. See what's common? Voter's card, NIB card. NIB card, voter's card. That NIB card, you know, is a very substantial looking card, right? The voter's card, you know, to be honest with you, is still that paper stock. Doesn't look as official and authentic as a NIB card or a driver's license. So that NIB card seems to be what these foreign illegals are trying to get more than anything else. You think it's about the vote. I if they know our voter system, they have to know trying to come to vote and you look suspicious and you got suspicious things. Them FNM and PLP and COI people looking hard at you did that. I don't think that's what they really trying to do. Some of y'all might have that in your head. I don't think so. I'm just talking with Chicago Line. They want that NIB card. That NIB card is like a pathway into officialdom. You and I don't think about that NIB card as seriously, because we have our passports, many of us. But that NIB card, that card is saying something to these people, these illegal people, trying to get by a pass in the Bahamas. You all look at the pattern. Voter's card, NIB card. Voter's card, NIB card. That seems to be that NIB card is practiced. That, first of all, that should tell the National Insurance Board you didn't produce something of significant value in its holdings. I have mine. It's got that chip. It's got my face. It's got my name. It's got my number. It's got my signature. And it's got all it man, and it pretty. It looked like official though. That's what they want to hold on to. Voting? Well, voting, that's, you only can vote one day. You want to live for the rest of the time. You only can vote for one day and you ain't sure going to win. Voting? Man, these people had, and that is value stock, bro. That NIB card is at the heart of this process. That NIB card is something. You hear me? So that's the first thing I picked up on. That voter's card, that NIB card is sitting in the middle of this stuff. Now, the parliamentary commissioner said that it's not easy to fabricate or to get past the checks and balances that exist in the system when it comes to these documents, the voter's card in particular. I believe him and I agree with him. You all get mad with me, go get mad with me. That's your business. I believe him. It is true. I think that if you are vigilant officers, if you are vigilant officers, hard, I didn't say impossible, I said it's hard to get past on a fraudulent voter's card. I believe that. First of all, you don't have to vote with your voter's card, right? But you can vote with your passport. Your name got to be on the register, right? And you have to, your name, when you register in, you have to have the appropriate documents, and then you have to have a passport. So don't tell me people get your voter's card, didn't have no passport. I am telling you what has happened before. It's happened before. But I'm saying these days, if you're vigilant, I don't see that. I don't see that that's easy thing to do. So I agree with the parliamentary register, the commissioner on that score. All right, I agree with him on that score. But the parliamentary commissioner and all of these government agencies have got to note that employee felt compelled to do this. And the question is why. Felt like she could do it. The question is why. I think this is the first time in a little bit for fraudulent passports and stuff like that. People going to jail for it, right? But this is the first time in a little while, listening to these things about fraudulent documents, that an employee has been implicated. First time in a little while. And for me, that's intelligence right there. That's intelligence gathering right there. Why did you do this? And you know, but this happening elsewhere. Where you picked that up from? What prompted you to even think that this was something you shouldn't could do? Was this a familial relationship you had with the person? Was this a intimate relationship you had with this person? Was this a monetary relationship you had with this person? What compelled you? Don't just stop and tell me. Don't just try and satisfy me. Oh, you know, well, this because of our system, we caught it. I accept that. Thank goodness. Thank God. But no. We need to dig deeper here now. We need to get into this and the psychology of this, because we're trying to get at the root that might be prompting such things. Because it might teach us some lessons. It might teach us some lessons about our vetting. It might teach us some lessons about our training. And it might further help us enhance our system. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take.
Monday, April 13th, Grand Bahama. Join the POP. Meet us in West End at 7:30 p.m. for a rally for progress. Hear from Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis, Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper, and your Grand Bahama team, including Dr. Money Pratt, Anyone, Huck O'Neill, and Kingsley Smith Jr. This is about the future of Grand Bahama and the opportunities ahead. Bring your family. Bring your voice. Come. Stand with us. Monday, April 13th, 7:30 p.m., West End, Grand Bahama. Choose progress.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for...
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for these. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a call online to you.
How to Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Good. And yourself?
I am good, you know. You know, yesterday I called Naughty Show in regards to a voice note that I had received from Dame June Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, she was lamenting the fact that our national documents are being fraudulently obtained, but there were no penalties. Nobody were being brought before the courts. The facilitators of these fraudulent activities were not being brought. She cited the fact that even in Haiti, who doesn't even have a government, that they are prosecuting individuals for fraud.
Okay, okay. Just a minute, 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 just a minute. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Say maybe not enough people, because I've read court documents of three people who were prosecuted and fined and imprisoned for fraudulent passport documents. This wasn't recently, but it has happened.
Yeah. Oh,
and they worked
happened.
They worked in the passport office. We don't get to do that. What I want us to do is let's speak factually, okay, to what has happened. So now if you are telling me she said in recent times, then okay, but it has happened in the 2000s.
Well, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, she was saying in recent times. I mean, it may have happened, but I can't I cannot recall in recent, within the last 10 to 15 years or so, that anyone that I can recall, can you recall in the last 15 years, anyone who was imprisoned for issuing fraudulent documents?
No, I can't. But remember now, on the show, what I stress is, I'm not saying what she's saying isn't valid, but I'm just saying, let's speak after,
right,
because so now we got to Haiti and what they're doing in Haiti and so forth, right?
I do understand. Yeah. I know.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, this is, of course, only has come about because of all of these.
The discussions that the opposition presented
these documents in court
and
it's in the national dialogue right now. Right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is something, having said that, I don't know whether this is coincidental or whatever, but, someone is being charged now. Before the courts, and we would see like more of this because there are people who are facilitating these things. Okay, there are people because these people are not working in isolation. There are people who are facilitators of these crimes. You know, they are it's treasonous, and they should be responsible before the courts.
But let me ask you.
To the fullest extent of the law.
Question. Well, let me ask you a question, right? Just bear with me for 1 minute. So a voter's card is a national document. It belongs to the government of the Bahamas. You know, your voter's card don't belong to you.
If you lose your passport,
you are supposed to go and report that as. Right? So let me ask you. This is what I want to ask you. When something happens. Just like the voter, just like the ballot, they are numbered in a series. If you are numbering your card stock in a series, the only way a outside person outside the government office of that should be able to get a hold on it is if a supervisor say, okay, inventory stock 34C72, okay, being issued, boom, I sign off on that. Where an ordinary worker could get access to the card stock without an inventory system that says card stock number 35678 out to such and such a person, and boom, 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 signed off by supervisor.
But you see, we have two signatories on certain things. So you know, when you have an inventory, one person signed, another person come to sign in order to verify that the information is correct. So you know, and I know somebody was saying call the election off and whatever it is, but there has to be an audit. There has to be an audit somehow of all of these government departments. Whatever Trump bought in Doge or Dodge or whatever.
Let's not mention foolishness. Not no Doge. We don't need no Doge. What we need are sensible systems experts who are capable of helping us evaluate our systems and tighten them.
But the thing is that we spend sometimes millions of dollars on software, but even with that human element, you still need people with integrity.
First of all, you cannot guarantee me anybody's integrity. You cannot guarantee me anybody's integrity. Because if you had asked everybody about David before he did what he did in the Bible, you would have told you he was a man of character. And even God said he was a man after my own heart.
You know,
Exactly. So that's why when I say systems, when I say computers, you meant of applications. That's not what I'm talking about. Systems are all human and otherwise to make a operation work.
Yeah.
It's all the organs of it.
But I sincerely hope we get this on. But thanks for your time. Have a good day. Right.
Yeah, man. You too, brother. You too. Systems are not just computers. When we hear systems, that's where we automatically go. Systems are all the organs that work together to make organization work. That's your accounting. That's your computers. That's your human resources, administrative staff. That's your communication system. It's all of those things that to make sure you can, to the extent possible, make things work as well as you want them to work. Now, let's be clear. I don't know that we're saying we got a totally jacked, that anybody's saying that. So we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but clearly where you have these kinds of discoveries about fraud, you want to see the extent of compromising your system. We have a call on the line. Caller, you could talk, but we got like 1 minute. If you want to call back, that may be better. But go ahead if you want. No? All right. But you can call back after the break. You're listening to Z. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, lots more to talk about. So much more to talk about. We'll be back after the news break.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. This is Belinda Wilson. A previous caller attributed some remarks.
Just a minute, Madam President. Your phone is bubbling for some reason. Try again now. Let's see.
Okay. There was a previous caller.
Maybe you should try and call us back. Yeah, please. Okay. Thanks. We'd like to hear from you. So while we wait for the president of the Bahamas Teachers Union to call back, let me read some of it. This said, Mr. Lang, the government and church despise capital punishment. Prison is a business. Suppliers can't make money if it's carried out. It is biblical for good order of the society has not been carried out in 26 years. Okay. It says go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. There was a previous caller who attributed some remarks from a voice note to Dame June Sawyer. I am calling to say publicly, and I've been given permission by her son, that is not Justice June Sawyer's voice. They have it going around social media with the voice note and her photo. They are asking this because that is not her voice.
My goodness.
Please.
Thank you very much for letting us know. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Thank you very much. See? Ah, oh, boy. What next? I was trying to read a text from someone who made a valid point about these the national insurance card. They indicated the amount of fraudulent documents that are floating around requires organizational skills and people who have access to sensitive government departments, but it is a ring of people. So the NIB card is necessary to work on any and all jobs, so you are correct. See, I'm telling you. You all want to know what's happening with these documents, particularly that NIB card. You all follow the money. Let me tell you something. Illegal persons in the Bahamas, you think they, or you into this grand takeover, they want takeover and all that kind of stuff. These people trying to get in a situation where they are economically capable of taking care of themselves, taking care of their families, getting enough money, possibly to leave this jurisdiction and go somewhere else. That money, that's the motivation, that economic means, that's the motivation. Just because you and I do not have the same motivation around these documents as they are, we want to travel, go to the U.S., United States of America, go to Walmart and Marshall's and go to Tiffany's and all these kinds of stuff. That's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. We get our national insurance card. What am I insurance card? What you use your national insurance card for? You banging? Yeah, what? Don't even think about it. Do not even think about it. Right? They need that national insurance card because that's a ticket to appear to work legally. Appear to, mind you, you need a work permit if you are a non-Bahamian to work, you know. So people who hire you should be asking for your work permit. And your work permit, unless it's a general work permit, like if you have a permanent residency with the right to work, then you could work anywhere. But generally speaking, if you are on work permit, your work permit is assigned to a particular employer on a particular vocation, not for everywhere. But that national insurance card, it is, in a slack society, a ticket for economic means, follow the money. And on the other end of it, the people who are helping people get it, follow the money. I'm not saying if you give a fraudulent voter's card because you didn't pick up the difference, that's a different story. But you see these people around here with these passport, fraudulent passports and all that kind of stuff, mind somebody making money. Anyways, let me move off of that. The Free National Movement says that it wants to establish a national lottery in the Bahamas. It indicated that it wants to do a big ball national lottery and to use it to fund a number of social needs in the society, which means then that it is the government would enter the gambling business. That's what it means. The government of the Bahamas would enter the gambling business. Well, why not? The government of the Bahamas already in the gambling business. Did y'all know that? You say, well, how, Shivago? All the casino licensed by Bahama and Atlantis, they belong to the government of the Bahamas, you know. They do not belong to those operators. Those people use the government license to go gamble. And the government is collect money from them. The government collects money from these numbers dealers. So you collecting money and you think the government can't think it's bad, the government licensing these operations. So we done been out of the business where gambling is a problem for the government. I hear the Christian Council, and the Christian Council has every right to be opposed to gambling and opposed to the government setting up a national lottery. I have no difficulty with that. Y'all could call them hypocrites all you want. I don't call them any hypocrite. They have a right to be there. But the government and the state being in the gambling business, that ship then sailed a long time. We have more to say, but we have some callers on. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Shabago. How are you doing today?
Hey, Shabago. Right here, man. What's going on?
Right here, man. Right here. Couple points. As a matter of fact, Shabago, picking up on where you just left off, that ship sailed almost 60 years ago. 57 years, to be precise.
Long time.
When the gaming was established. And began licensing the casinos to operate. Right. And like you, I too agree that the Christian Council or the bishops of what is it called? The League of Bishops. They're all entitled
College of Bishops. The College of Bishops, yeah.
Oh, right. Sorry. Thank you. The College of Bishops, they're all entitled to their viewpoints. And it's a great example in how you go about expressing your will in a democracy and expressing your viewpoint and what you would like to see your government do. And if more behemoths were proactive in those regards, similar to those two bodies, then we would get better governance at the end of the day, right? For all behemoths, because that's what it takes in order to...
Anton, let me just say this. I have a number of callers online, so let's...
Okay, let me go with what I wanted to say then. Look, you said some a few minutes ago, Shabago, regarding the parliamentary voter registration department, right? Which I couldn't agree with even more. I remember there was a stint where I managed an entity on behalf of the government of the Bahamas that was performing very poorly for about 30, 40 years. And the idea was to turn it around. One of the first things I identified was I needed to know what was in that entity, determine how that entity is operating. And if you don't know what is in that entity as it relates to the carnivores or the voter registration cards and the numbering system, et cetera, you will not successfully determine what is coming out or what is coming back in to that entity. And so that was a very valid point I'd like to express. Also, something I want to pick up on that you said yesterday that I found very, very important.
You got to finish up from it, though. Seriously, yeah, I got to line
finishing
up for people
at this
to
point
tell.
Right now.
Yeah. Okay.
At this point right now. About the same conversation that you spoke about with another host on another program about 2 weeks ago, right? Relating to the FNM's platform, where the leader of the FNM, Michael Pintard, honorable, announced that they're going to be building 5,000 homes. First and foremost, Bago, even if you set that as a platform, even if you fail to build 5,000 homes and you fall short and you get 3,000 or 4,000 homes, it's still a gain for the Bahamas. Let me outline that. But the real point I want to outline is this, right? Please look at that as it relates to simple arithmetic, because you would be way off. What you have to factor in, and the most important aspect of factoring in that calculation, is how long realistically does it take to build a cookie cutter home or a simple site plan, such as what the government homes consist of, right? Very simple, very straightforward, very minimal square footage. And when you look at the amount of time, you can construct those homes in actually 3 months. And so if you look at a 3 month as your basic barrier, in fact, you only need to build 250 homes every 3 months. And if you bring behemoths along in that process, like used to happen in the 67 era of selling and filling in those, we got behemoths who were building 10, 20, 30 homes, Shabago, in this country, who are still alive today, every 3 months, when we had our real boom in opening up middle class and working class homes in our country. And
I
so
got
it's
you.
Quite realistic. Thank you for the opportunity.
I got you. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Anton. Okay. Do we have another call on the line? Not yet. Some of them dropped. Is anybody back yet? Okay. All right. So the Christian Council is able to, as it has always done, be opposed to gambling. They are opposed to it on moral grounds. So it's okay, fine, not a problem. I'm not concerned about whether it's morally or immorally right to have a national lottery. The state has licensed gambling. So gambling is part of the legal business of the Bahamas now. Okay, I'll call this back. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Zhivago, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, dear man. What's up?
Awesome, awesome. Let me piggyback off Antoine for a second. He made some very crucial points just now as it pertains to the housing industry of the Bahamas. And during the pending era, I mean, everything is basically, just about everything is prefaced on the successes of that administration at the particular time. You know, the impossibility, as he so rightfully said, the target may be X amount of homes built within X amount of time. But if you have accomplished at least half to three quarters of those homes, then even though you would have fallen short, it's still a plus as far as that administration is concerned. So we should not write off, because all these things are just projections. Are we going to hit the targets is the question, and how are we going to hit them is to accomplish that is the question. And hopefully, you know, whichever administration comes in, saying that housing is a big part of the puzzle that we have to solve, I'm just hoping that they will be able to solve it. The part that I really call about Zhivago very quickly here is, you know, regardless to how we pivot now concerning these passports, the NIB cards, and so on and so forth, it has already soured and left a very distasteful taste in the mouths of many concerned Bahamians who is now looking at our upcoming elections with jaundiced eyes. And you cannot fault them for that, because obviously the processes or the lack thereof that has not been implemented to ensure that we have is not going to be tainted with the negativity that has already been created. I'm going to tell you, everybody is going to be watching this process and will be critiquing it for what it is. But the sad part in closing that I see here is there going to be a delay in the process because persons who may be suspected of not being able to, or who should not be able to vote in our elections through the process of challenging, is that going to slow up the process towards the final end? That is the thing that we have to be concerned about. But thanks for taking my call, Zhivago. Yeah. I'll continue to listen.
All right, no problem. Take care. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Zhivago, good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I listened to the guy talk about him and how she get billing all this period of time. Let me tell you something. We can't find nobody in this country to work. Who won't work to do these things? So I got trying to get something done to my house. About $3,000 or $4,000 way to work, right? And I was trying to find Bahamian people for the last 10 days. Nobody in this country will go to work. One government job, and that's it.
So let me. So if you're right, explain to me how someone came by my house the other day, painted the apartment, painted the inside of the apartment. Next young man called me, Mr. Lang, can I pressure clean your wall, etc. Well, if nobody won't work, where they calling me for?
Boy, listen to me, Zhivago. Very few persons in this country want to go and work hard. Not even hard, I say. Go in the salary.
All right,
people, that's the reality of it.
My brother, no problem, man. My fight ain't strong today. No problem. Take care. Do we have another caller on the line? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. No? Okay. So I wasn't concerned today about lottery being moral, immoral. That's another argument some people could have, but we done passed, that ship done sailed. Sailed a long time. This even ain't about morality no more. It's about legality. And plenty moral things might be illegal, and plenty legal things might be immoral. So that we're talking about the state now, right? The state, which has already licensed gambling. I've been licensing gambling for a long time. Long time, long before even Christie licensed the numbers boys. But the Prime Minister said, does the FNM want to set up a national lottery and use it as a slush fund? That's the question he asked. Well, that must mean he believes that there's lots of money for the government to be to make from having a national lottery. Because if it can create a slush fund, then that's a problem. Then that's a possibility, right? The second thing is, the prime minister said, he said, does they want to set up this slush fund to be able to facilitate corruption and that kind of thing and what have you? And I immediately thought to myself, the government of the Bahamas, the administration led by Prime Minister Christie former, Deputy Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Philip Braid Davis former, now Prime Minister of the Bahamas, that licensed private people to provide the numbers business in the Bahamas, where that number had been illegal for many years, licensed them. And the same persons who illegal regime now operates legally. No problem with that. That's what we decided in the country to do. But that system isn't corrupt in the private sphere. But it would become corrupt if operated in, if a element of it is operated in the government sphere, more so than any other means of corruption. That's the automatic conclusion of a government-operated national lottery. But let me ask you a question. I want to read something to you all, if that is what the prime minister believes. This is Mr. Perry Gladstone Christie, former prime minister of the Bahamas, speaking, and this is what he said. He says, I am a prime minister who listens. He says, and in listening to the still evolving public discourse on the forthcoming referendum, it has become clear to me that more time is needed before the Bahamian people are called upon to vote. He said, I am supported in this view by the leadership of a broad cross-section of national community, of the national community with whom I have been consulting over the past few days. He says, I therefore decided with the full support of my cabinet colleagues, that includes Prime Minister Davis, to postpone the referendum until the 28th January 2013. Listen now, keep listening. This will allow sufficient time to facilitate the widest possible dialogue on the referendum issues and the dissemination of information on these issues. He said, I would also like to announce that the government has given full consideration to the scope of the question to be put to the electorate. The government's gaming advisors initially, listen to me, folk. This is Prime Minister Barry Gladstone Christie, former, speaking for his government, former, of which Prime Minister Davis was a deputy prime minister. This is what he said. He advised that a national lottery would not be viable given the small size of the Bahamian population and the competition which would be experienced from the proximity of the Bahamas to the United States with its huge lottery jackpots. Listen now, this is what he said. Notwithstanding that initial advice, the government has decided, the government has decided that it would be in the interest of the broadening of democracy and consistent with its charter of for governance to include a referendum question. Now, why would you even put up for grabs that if you thought this was a means for corruption and so forth and so forth? Says tomorrow my government will introduce, listen, a bill that will deal with the legal framework for the referendum on web shop gaming and a national lottery. Apparently, the national lottery as a consideration wasn't such a bad idea back then. And then it wasn't about slush fund. It was about the advisor saying, no, the Bahamas is too small for you to have a national lottery. That's what it was about. It wasn't even about immorality, that, according to former prime minister. Do we have a caller on the line? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. No? Do we have a call on the line? No? This text says, Mr. Lang, I totally agree with the caller. Our company has been advertising to find workers and can hardly get people to show up for scheduled interviews. This is not the case in Freeport, but particularly in Nah, so I didn't feel like arguing with him because you can't totally agree with him because he's saying that nobody wants to work hard in the bombs anymore. Do you agree with that? That's what he said. So so that you may have difficulty finding people, that's I could see that. But nobody wants to work hard in the Bahamas. This is what you agree with? I don't think so. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang.
Yes, I do.
I call for two main reasons. One, I support a national lottery because I recognize under some a business plan I wrote for some scratch-off tickets
that
we could create more millionaires through a national lottery versus the current gaming structure that we have in this country.
Okay.
Also, I want to talk about the way our perception and the views from the senior people of this country regarding young men and work. I hear most of the time the persons who complain about young men work, when you listen to their voice, they older men, senior men, who probably never even took the time to train no young man, who probably because they're looking for cheap labor or slave labor. They're the same ones who probably ain't show us anything, because I'm 43, and I tired hearing people talk about, listen, I tell any Haitian, any foreigner, when I'm on the job, I outwork them all the time. I used to do fencing. And I work, I outwork Bahamians. I outwork foreigners as a young man. And so when I hear people talk about young men don't want work, that is bother me.
Yeah, I just can't see it as a blanket statement. I don't agree with that. As a blanket statement, I don't agree with it. Quite frankly, it doesn't even make sense because when you consider that the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has over 200,000 people working today, what the heck they doing? They just all softly working on the job.
You can't pay a man. A man get rent, $1,000. A man get other little bills, food, school fee, medical, all these different expenses, and they want them to work for $260 at the end of the day. No, it don't work, and then it ain't like they're empowering these young men. Okay? I work around on fields where people hire a lot of foreigners. And I know why they hire them, because they take advantage of them. They can talk to them anyway. They can treat them anyway, get them money, what they want to get them, how they want to give it to them. And it's not fair. Mm. And they know that most foreigners don't carry the weight of the finances that most black young men in this country have to carry.
I got you, brother. I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you calling. Do we have another caller on the line? I do not deny that employers could and can have difficulty sourcing good and quality workers. I can't deny that is so. But ain't nobody in Chicago, Sean Lang. Ain't nobody in the Bahamas won't work. Ain't no Bahamian won't work hard no more. You can't call this show and get me to agree with that. That cannot happen. No, sorry, Bob. That logic is defied by all the realities that we examine in the Bahamas every single day. Every day. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, timely reorientation of the words that comes out of politicians' mouth, eh? I listened intently to the words of the former prime minister, right? And then I applied some logic to it. Now, you know, of course, the narrative that we don't have enough people, I wouldn't buy that. And so the gentleman who also called talked about the young people don't want to work. I think they say money answered all things. Maybe it's what they're paying, because everything is enticement. But as it relates to the gambling, national lottery, et cetera, gaming houses, right? You know, I'll speak from somebody who has an island lock account, right, Mr. Lang? And, you know, sometimes when I go into these places and make these deposits, you see the number of people that are sitting behind the spin machines, right? And so when I spin sometimes, it goes like it's a parameter, and you can go up. I think well, I've never spent more than like maybe $25 a spin or $12.50, $6.50. I have a limit. But you can actually win more as you go up. But for me, I've been asking a question, and so I was on Google and I asked, what is the win-loss ratio on slot machines in the casinos? And it was a lot of dubious information. I didn't have time to read it because I'm busy working, you know, to be honest with you. And it talked about the disparity in from one machine to the next. And my brother was familiar with this because he had a Canadian friend who he's visiting Canada sometimes. I think he has interest in the casino, and he does the programming for these slot machines, et cetera, et cetera. And I had asked this question previously, and I don't know if you could help me with this, as it relates to the gaming world. But me personally, this is me personally, I feel as if our gaming industry is lacked oversight. I don't know about the casino here, but I think that the local industry, they lack oversight. I don't know if they're in bed with the politicians, but this is what I'm seeing. And so for me, my question was simply is, what is the win-loss ratio, or if there is a win-loss ratio or threshold required for the customer versus the house? We know the house always wins, but nobody seems to even want to provide that information. And so I don't know what's the data on it.
I know that the hotels, casinos have parameters. I know that they do. They definitely have parameters. Now, whether that is true for the numbers houses, local numbers houses, I don't know.
All right, but I'll share this with you, Lang, and I'd like for you to comment because it means a lot to me. What I'm saying is, like spin, right? You have everything is a psychological operation. When you spin the games, they have like a lot of lights and little different emblems that come up to make you feel like you're winning something on the ratio as to which you're playing, the bet which you're betting against, the amount of lines, et cetera. So it's all like a farce in the sense that it's not really a big win, but, you know, all that excitement and lights and all that, and sometimes you see these things.
But they're nothing different than Facebook and all them things would lighten you up with endorphins by click this and thumbs up this and all that. All of them, trying to do is get your attention and keep your attention. That's it.
We live in
the attention economy.
I agree with you totally. But what I'm saying is, I have total control over it, you know, because I may do it. I may spin every other month or maybe once a month. And so what I find out is when you spin at a lower ratio, you get more free spins. But the minute you could blow like hundreds of dollars trying to get a big bet and trying to get a big hit. And so they have a you know, like the banks, they have like a black card or an executive card, like the high roller cards, and then they have the normal cards, et cetera. So they are making money. So that argument that there's not
They are making money. That's an understatement, brother. And they are making money. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Lang.
Hey, what's up?
Lang, I am happy that you are you mentioned the thing about former Prime Minister Perry Christie. But, you know, for the past couple of years, when they talk about the national lottery thing, I keep saying to people, go and read the history of lottery and what it does for society when it's been around for many, many, many years. Now, in the early 1900s, in Harlem, New York, Stephanie St. Clair, who was from the Caribbean, black woman, right? She was called the queen of business, right?
Yes.
Elsie Bumpy Johnson, who became her enforcer, he inherited. You can watch these tapes and everything on YouTube. And when they got out of bootlegging and everything, when that was coming to an end, that is what the mafia and all those former bootleggers resorted to the numbers industry. Eventually, what happened in the United States, they came to state lotteries and everything.
Here
we are, right? What Mr. Davis is saying, that it's a slush fund, and I like how you brought that back to us about what Prime Minister Perry Christie did. I mean, I had to say. Now, just to put it in context, like when we were children, Grammy used to bake the bread, right? Or Mommy done bake the bread, right? They mixed the batter and everything. We sat around and make the bowls. But when the bread was baked and it was cooling off, who had to give you permission to get some bread? You had to wait for Mommy or Grammy them to give you the bread. So why is it the government got to let someone else control the loaf of bread and the people only get slices from the poison they put in charge, namely the number boys? That's all.
I hear you, brother. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much for calling. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. All right, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody. try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Print Masters masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The following is a paid political message.
Out to Kalani.
That was a paid political message.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust money.
The Free National Movement Fire Forward Rally, Nassau Southern Zone. Hear from Dr. Dwayne Sands, Bamboo Town, Darren Hinfield, South Beach, Denari Road, Pinewood, Arithia Komalafi, Carmichael, Michael Folks, Golden Gates, Rick Fox, Garden Hills, Deputy Leader Shannon Dawn Cartwright, and Party Leader Michael Pintard. This Tuesday, April 14th, at Golden Gates Rural Outreach Ministries parking lot at 7:30 p.m. That's the Free National Movement Fire Forward Rally, Nassau Southern Zone. See you there.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shababo Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
A pleasant good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
I hope you and your family is faring well. Talking about the number rocket. On the 4th of next month, God spare life, I will be 75. And I grew up in an area called the Valley. When I grew up, there was a man named Stokes Thompson on the corner of Madera Street and Mackey Street. Went to jail for numbers and some other racketeer. Then there was Percy Munnins. Then there was Toot. Then there was Mo. And then there's many people had numbers thrown out. Now, at that time, I know numbers were supposed to be illegal. I used to hear my parents and them talking, but they played numbers in Cuba, in Miami, and this and that. They call it Miami then. And
numbers was illegal until after the referendum and Mr. Christie does made them legal from that time.
No, this is what I'm saying now. Now, it was illegal. But we talk about corruption now. Percy Munnings was the treasurer of the PLP party. And Mr. Pendleton and Mrs. Pendleton, birthday used to be held at Central Highway Inn on Wolf Road and Mini Street every year. And the Prime Minister, Percy, was running the number rackets illegally, but he was the treasurer of the PLP party. Then they brought in the number boys. And this and that. Then somehow they got it legal, even if the people say they're illegal. They prefer the national lottery. But now I ask this question. You don't think I gave it those licenses out to these particular number boys? They got together and sat down, and these fellas opened up them companies. Don't you think those politicians got shares in them same number rocket houses?
I don't know, bro.
I
don't know, brother. I don't know. I don't know. Thanks for calling. I don't know. Okay, let me read some of these texts here. Says, Mr. Lang, I love the idea of a national lottery, but if the FNM get in, can they produce what they promise? I highly doubt it. They lost the chance when they privatized it during the Christie administration. Why? Why? They didn't lose the chance to establish a national lottery. They can set up a national lottery despite the fact that there's numbers houses. In fact, let me read y'all something. I was asked about this in 2012. What year is this? 2026? Okay. And here's what Shivago Lang said. Said former Minister of State for Finance, Shivago Lang is predicting the establishment of a national lottery and the legalization of web shops would be cannibalistic. Says the problem, this is a quote from me, says the problem is that the Prime Minister seems to have twisted himself in a real knot with this issue, because on the one hand, he said the national lottery cannot be sustained in a small market like this. Yet, on the other hand, the few operators we have are able to profitably run their operations in this economy, Lang told the Nassau Guardian. Says, if this is a question of needed revenue for the government, and if it is a question of regulating an industry that is now unregulated, it would seem to me that a national lottery is the best means of doing that. That was in 2012 when I made. All right. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Oh, good day. Do you know how much license holders there are?
I think there are 4 or 5.
Because I keep hearing people saying 9. So
it could be, you know, the big ones I 4 or 5, but it could be 9. Don't hold me to that. Could be 9.
Well, I mean, I do think it's 4. I just think that it's supposed to be 9, 10, but it's only 4. Most of them own 2 businesses. So they suggest to lock the people out.
I got you.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. All right. Let me read these other texts before we run out of time on you. This text says the government is mandated to carry out capital punishment. Punishment if the courts permit it to be done. That's the only way. All right. That's the only way under the law. This text says, I'm confused on the arrest. The parliamentary department employee was caught through one woman committing ID fraud. In the search of the PRD's employees' belongings, did they find any other evidence of potential crimes? I don't know. Don't know. Didn't read that in anything I read. This text says that the shared blood does not leave a stain on the nation. This text says, I don't believe the narratives about one card one time. This employee could have aided tens and hundreds before he was caught. Fair point. This text says, Mr. Lang, I would volunteer my professional time to help secure the parliamentary process of voter card processing. There you go. This text says, Mr. Lang, do you realize that post-independence Bahamian workers are all now retired? 2015 was mass retirement. The system of government is infiltrated by many unloyal paper Bahamians. Oh, my Lord. Many unloyal paper Bahamians, and you know that. NIB is gone. Last time I verified the person, first and last name, a Haitian should not be. Oh, boy, I don't know. This says, good day, Mr. Lang. I'm highly disappointed in this government and you for making excuses for criminals. Better life or not, try it in another country and they would lay down the law. My kids need people to look up to, not people encouraging corruption. You have to stop talking stupidness because you cannot be talking to me. You cannot be talking to me and encouraging. You cannot be talking to me. Please. Absolute nonsense. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What's the difference, though? How much money in the United States on lottery? Plenty, I imagine. How much money they spend here on numbers? Yes, has this voter's card fraud been such a huge issue? All transfers and new voters need to be re-registered and the government workers or whoever they are needed to be arrested and made examples of, and immigration buses and police need to be stationed at every voting poll. I don't care what you're trying to do because as a Bahamian, if I try commit fraud, I get locked up. Okay. Ms. Tech says, hi, Mr. Lang. I'm glad Mrs. Wilson called to clarify that voice note with Mrs. Sawyer that happened before, and she had to call and said it was not her. I would like to know who is doing this and have people's voices. You have to be so careful with these smartphones. You have to be very careful, very, very careful. It says, good afternoon. All must know we will have a national lottery. Is a must-have. We need our people money to build our country, not just a few. Okay. It's Texas. Good afternoon. That caller talking fool because I have persons calling me daily to assist them with finding jobs. Okay. This text says, the last caller, it's that you can't find Bahamian to work. You want to pay a Bahamian minimum wage. The immigrant are now charging more than Bahamians. We despise our own for immigrants, says this text. This text says, Mr. Lang, when we voted on the gaming referendum, I voted in favor of national lottery. Not only you, most people, I think the national lottery actually won. And not privatization of the gaming industry. There are much smaller economies than ours that have successful national lottery, and the same can be done here with the appropriate legislation to manage the same. This will lessen the taxes, hopefully, and assist in providing funding for much needed national issues. Can I tell you this? In economics, we refer to a national lottery as voluntary taxation. The only difference between it and the government extracting money from you through taxes is that you gladly give the government this money, get something money back. The taxing, the government makes you do it. You don't volunteer to do it. With the national lottery, you volunteer to do it. But the extraction from the system, your private funding, is going to be significant and the same. And the effect, economically speaking, will be very much like a taxation system. But you volunteer to do it, so no problem. And the government gets revenue. this text says, so we know PM Minister was in on Sebastian Sebastis as he was ambassador under his administration. Mr. Pintard is different, was better careful, better advisors on the national lottery. I love his statement and vision, says this text. This text says, it is ironic that the number boys wants a monopoly on their market, but has the ability with the vast earnings to enter other businesses and outspend and compete us. I ain't talking about the numbers today. Not today. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, Mr. Lang, how are you doing? Just voice on the right dame, the voice note with the dame, right? The only individuals who don't know her voice would confuse that voice as being heard. Okay? And so I guess maybe the picture attached to it or something, but it isn't no new voice note, it's the same voice note.
Yeah, yeah. We got some people out there at Sea Island who got itchy ears, man. They just itching for something.
But Mr. Lang, I want you to imagine this, right? You are the government, and you say, we don't have an industry to sustain coconut water. However, we're going to license gully wash. And that's the whole concept of the lottery. See, we call it numbers. It's still the lottery. But when you look for the international level, so the casino, the gambling industry that's grown from the almost $150 to $200 billion industry in the 2012 to over $500 billion today, $500 plus million, 2 billion people per year that actually plays in it. And so a national lottery actually removes the it's a word for it, proximity gaming, where it's limited to a particular area, like in a web shop or to a particular country. And so now that the industry has changed, the fact that the Bahamian government can offer lottery into any jurisdiction for which it doesn't conflict, and you could use even to restrict certain countries, et cetera, from accessing the lottery. So the lottery itself goes out beyond the Bahamas. And now that the lottery has also grown into things that goes beyond just selling numbers, because it comes under the lottery definition. So what you have now is a lottery position, lottery that, because of the main prohibition of online gaming, was basically the corresponding banks. So they couldn't fund these lottery accounts. But because now there's alternative currencies and everything in the world, this is why the lottery and gaming, or gambling as we call it, gaming, it's just lottery and gaming, has grown exponentially over the last decade and will continue to grow.
We know it's huge. But you know what, see, Alan, that people need to realize, when we say like the industry is growing, no, bro. What we really mean is, Bahamians, you are spending a lot more money gambling.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
See, Alan, this is very important, because I think you helped tease this out. I want people to recognize, man. If Sabas is rich, if Flowers gets rich, if any of the operators, and these are legal operators,
yes,
are getting rich and they're making money,
this
is like anything else, like Super Value, like Solomon's, like any of this is patronage by consumers.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying to you, locally and globally. The advantage the government has is that it can grant itself a license. But this concept, as if though the government will run a lottery, like the government will create this thing that's already in existence. Even the individuals in the Bahamas, it's right on the government site, on the gaming site, that these guys license their technology from a company called Multislot. So there's nothing to reinvent. So there is systems. So the government is only licensing and hiring competent individuals that's running almost billion-dollar organizations around the world. And let me use an argument that Mr. Davis made. He said, if you want to use one particular jurisdiction like the Dominican Republic, you could say because their system worked, they were able to detect the fraud. So this whole...
But I'm not getting caught up in the thought that this can be corrupt because the government is doing the national lottery. Doesn't seem to follow for me, because, man, we got all these operators right now operating not national lottery. They're operating local lotteries as businesses.
Yes, and absolutely. So I'm just going to be saying is that this is a unique opportunity for us, and so to keep this protection that should expire in the next 2 or 3 months is a conversation we should have anyway, because individuals like me that was locked out of the industry, understanding technology, I want in, but I don't need another 25 years of protection given to anyone. So if you're going to lock me out, lock it out for the government. But if you're going to open the market,
open it
for everybody.
Before you go. So let me get this right now. What the company name now?
Multislot.
Udun Alukaya. No. Udun Alukaya. Grand Lukaya.
CWC.
Concord. Yeah, so Concord Wilshire has not released a plan that says this is the timetable for doing X, Y, and Z in respect of the hotel. But they are now saying that fencing the place in and what have you is consistent with some permits they get to secure the start demolition and related to the thing MSC is doing. Am I reading something wrong? Are y'all aware of something in Grand Mama that I'm not aware of?
No,
about the grand plan for the Grand Lukaya?
We notice a sense of delusion. You know Garden Villas, right? The Deputy Prime Minister praised Ginger Moxie for converting Garden Villas into Garden Village, a place of prosperity. I don't know. Maybe you're not too far from there on the way home. You could stop and let me know.
See, Alan.
Yeah.
Stop calling my show talking foolishness.
It's on the video. I'll clip it for you. But let me just go back to the same thing with the place.
See, Alan. I'm seeing man. You cannot do that. Don't call my show talking nonsense.
He said it. He said it in West End last night.
Garden Villas?
Yes, now Garden Village.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that because they're not talking to us on Grand Bahama, you know, they're trying to massage the intellect of people out of Grand Bahama. But back to CWC. CWC.
Yeah, I got a minute though. I got a minute, so you got to wrap up.
Smith is a separate heads of agreement than the one they proposed. Do you remember the condos, the canal, the cruise? This is totally different.
Yeah.
So I want to know, when did the MOU or heads of agreement change over the last couple of weeks? Because this is not what they said. Look at the new site, new everything else.
We finish talking about this tomorrow, because you didn't start a whole another conversation talking foolishness on my show today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabara Lang, your host. God's best life. We'll be back again with you tomorrow. Y'all have a fantastic afternoon, okay? Bye-bye. Come take my hand.